This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you want to join in that conversation, join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. And if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show your love for the pop culturist on your buddy, head to popculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts, hoodies, phone covers, anything that we can slap our logo on. It's going to be there.
Put logos on a lot of things these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm convinced I could get custom pop culturist condoms.
Pop condoms.
Where when they're folded, it says Pop C, but as you get a boner, it says the Pop Culturist. And the little Adam like glows in the dark or something.
That is a business opportunity right there.
Yeah. We actually did have, when was it? Early last year, I think. Like how we do our sex toys.
That's
if we
branded true.
We sex toys. We had some good ones.
Yeah, what we would do if we were making
like
pop culture
how
sex toys.
You, Dylan, and I would represent different kinds of dildos and butt plugs.
Because we each fit different, like,
yeah, we do.
Different fetishes.
Yeah. And yeah. Because we're all distinctly unique. We're all a fetish. We're not just a normal dude that people want to have sex with. It has to be this weird thing.
We're not just general man.
Yeah, we're just not just men. You're extra large and large and extra small. Yep. We don't have a medium on the team.
There's a bald thing in there as well. Mm. You know, there's like that Seth Rogen experience, you know. Dylan. This is very specific.
Just like this, like 8-inch circumference. Would you like to give birth again but not have a baby? The Dylan dildo is just for you.
Yeah, do you think the best part of having a kid was having the kid?
Fetish.
How you been, my friend?
Yeah, right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Just not sick this week?
No.
Me either. Thanks, Dave Chataway.
What?
He made a comment. He's like, oh, it's lovely knowing that you guys are unwell again.
Get fucked. No, it's been not a quiet week. Just a week.
Yeah, well, you said you sort of burnt yourself out.
Yeah, I burnt myself out pretty hard on games. Putting 220 hours into Monster Hunter. I still played it a little bit. No, it's... I don't know, just hit a wall. I was like, I don't want to play anything.
Mm.
So I read for a bit. This has got me a cool book for my birthday.
What have you been reading? Month.
The Wise Man's Fear.
What's that?
How do I explain it? Set in like fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And this innkeeper is actually this like big renowned hero of old who like, you know, slayed the dragons and did all the things. And he's like gone into hiding because he's like done with it. And he's basically, you're reading him telling his story to a scribe to like chronicle his life and his journey and all that. And I don't know if like later, it's a fucking big book, but I don't know if later it'll like crescendo into like the present where he needs to like
has to do something,
get back into it. It's very good. It's like a debut fantasy novel by someone. It's sweet.
That's why
I don't sell books. I don't know books. No, it's great. I'm really enjoying it. I did play last night on the Switch 2 demos.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby All-Star Allies and Dragon Quest Builders.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby was presented really well. Like, it looks like a sweet fucking Kirby game. And, like, the background and the foreground are both rendered in 3D. Because everyone's complaining it's only 30 FPS. But, like, all the backgrounds are rendered in 3D as well. So it does kind of... And there's a lot of, like, particle effects and shit going on. I don't give a fuck about the FPS. It's probably a little bit too easy.
Okay.
Kirby games have never been particularly hard. But even on... There's an easy level and a hard level for you to play through on the demo. And even on the hard level, like, each level has a boss. It was King Dedede. Don't know if you know King Dedede.
Vaguely.
Yeah. He's in Smash Brothers. Like, the duck.
Yes, I thought it was.
Small
yeah.
duck guy.
Cool, that's what I thought it was.
And you essentially recruit... up to 3 AI companions to do solve different puzzles with you, but other players, like you can play with 4 players and co-op and all that, they can control the other ones. I basically let the 3 of them kill the hard level boss. I just dodged him. I flew around and they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, that's kind of... I did some reading. People like, you know, you can send the companions away and do it solo, like there's your difficulty, but that's artificial difficulty. I don't know. It's not going to be a game I get day one. I'll wait for some reviews to see if it kind of opens up a little bit later.
I was just going to say, see whether you wanted me to get a code for you.
No, because I'd hate to get it and hate it. You know what I mean? But Dragon Quest Builders I enjoyed quite a bit.
Yeah, that game's been out for a while. It's out on the PS4 and whatever.
Yeah, it's out on the Switch, but it does have a demo as well. It's, you know, the Minecraft comparison is there, but the crafting seems a bit more streamlined. Not as like... You know, in Minecraft, you like you need to build something. It's like, you need blah and blah. You're like, where the fuck do I get them? And it's just kind of figure it out.
Mm.
This is a little bit more streamlined. The materials don't seem too hard to gather. The crafting is quite easy.
Mm-hmm.
Quite easy to get materials. And having a story there just kind of helps keep pushing you forward a little bit more. Whereas in Minecraft, I enjoyed Minecraft a lot, you know, way back when. But Minecraft is like the ultimate sandbox. You know, get in there and literally do whatever you want at whatever pace you want. Whereas this is more, yeah, you're building and you're crafting and you're scavenging and you're cooking your food and, you know, you build up towns for people because you're the only builder left in the world. Like, villain in the game has taken away everyone's creativity. So no one else can build, only you can. Like, you're awoken from a slumber or some shit. The demo doesn't go into much.
Oh, man, the amount you could charge.
Whew. Yeah. But, say you kind of go out there and you're like, people are like, I can't live in this house because it has no door and the walls are falling apart. So you're like, and they're like, well, you fixed it. And you're like, fucking earth, I did. just like that.
So, I can't get up this ledge.
So essentially, it's up to you to kind of rebuild humanity. You know, you start with this little village, you start building that up, then that's pretty much where the demo ended. Mm. But you travel to like different islands and shit. It's cool. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. Because I do enjoy some, like, crafting / survival kind of games. There's a bit more emphasis on combat in this one too. It's not just like, you know, you zombies just like and just like walking into you. You know, there's like chimeras and dragons and shit. But yeah, I liked it a fair bit more than I actually thought I would. I just like having that narrative to kind of, instead of being like, why am I playing this?
Mm.
It's, well, this is why I'm playing this. So yeah, it's cool. I liked it.
Another game we got offered a code for, and I went, hey, I want to play this. Like, nah, alright.
What?
We got offered a code for like ages back.
Dragon Quest Builders.
Yeah, on Switch.
Oh man.
Yeah, and I went, hey, you guys want it? You went, nah.
Is the code still in the email?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's still in the email. Yeah.
And I did, of course, play Monster Hunter just because the Aloy event came out.
Mm. Yeah, so we tried to grind that out on stream on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Got about three levels out of it.
Zora Magdaros quest is fucking garbage.
Dude, man.
And it takes up about 40 minutes. And just nothing happens. And you could have literally, like, from where you are now, maybe an hour, we could bang you up there just like that. Get in there, kill the fucking monster, get out, do the next one. But that Zora Magdaros quest is because it's like on rails.
Mm.
So because you, Max, and I blitzed it so quickly, we just had to wait for like 10 minutes till he kind of got to where he was supposed to be. But yeah, I got the Aloy armor, looks sweet. So, you know, put the Watcher costume on my Palico. You make Aloy's bow as well. I ran around for a bit as Aloy. It was cool. I just like, I'll jump in, get the event stuff now, and then probably
bounce. I saw there's a new thing with like a long lizard head. I don't know what the hell's going on with that.
In the next area you go to, there's these little worms that come out of the ground.
Yeah.
And you got to catch like 10 of them for this quest. And yeah, it's like this really, I forget what it's called, this really long head. Really good support helm, apparently.
Nice.
It's got the ability wide range, so when you drink any kind of potion or buff, it extends out to your party members, and they get the buff as well. So if you're building like a support healing character, you know,
very
it's
really, nice.
I don't know if I could seriously play with it, but the abilities it gives are really cool. Mm-hmm. But you can get them elsewhere as well. It'd be fun just to put on and go, and then actually
run around four of you,
then
like
get your actual like Rathalos helm and go,
yeah.
You know, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. But yeah, so we streamed Monster Hunter on Wednesday. I'm done with that game, I think.
You gotta love the grind.
I love the grind is what I'm in, like, lately. Well, we'll get to the other game I've been playing as well, but like the grind is fine.
Oh, because of Metal Gear Survive?
Yeah, like the grind in Metal Gear, like, I'm playing a lot of Metal Gear Survive as well, so the grind in that game is fine. I'm enjoying that grind. But like, Monster Hunter, I'm just not feeling it. Like, I was feeling it a couple of weeks ago, and dumping back into it, I'm like...
I think whenever I kind of got that feeling, like, oh, I'm starting to get over it, I literally grabbed a new weapon and tried it, because they're all so different. It really revitalized the combat again for me. But you might like something else even better, though.
That's true, I could.
But yeah, the Zora Magdaros quest really just puts, like, a big stop.
It does. Like, it really stops it, like, short.
Yeah, and funnily enough, later, you got to do it again. Same thing. Only once. Like, once, though. But I found I had the most enjoyment out of it after I beat the last Zora Magdaros quest, and then you get to, like, this... four more big bads after it that are actual fights, and that's when you get into the end game of like, okay, what armor do I want, what do I need to farm, what skills do I want, I'm going to build my own set. Like, that's when I got the enjoyment out of it, like, because the story was just average at best.
Yeah, and yeah, so on the so once again, this is the last week that I've had to watch the Oscar films, so I can
play, you can play it.
Combining games again. Yeah, cool. It's surprising.
Okay, sorry, let me jump in. Out of all the Oscar films you had to watch, what's your pick?
Oh, my personal favorite. Yeah. It's tied between The Post, which was the Meryl Streep Tom Hanks movie about the release of documents prior to Watergate. And right. It's a big commentary on sort of Donald Trump and Nixon and how they both sort of trying to shut out the media. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. And the other one was Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. It's funny, it's dark, and it's just really well done. And then there's a bunch of shit ones like Phantom Thread. That is garbage.
But it's up for an Oscar. It has to be good.
Yeah, because Daniel Day-Lewis is in it. It's a bunch of wank. It's one of those wank films. And then there's like a Call Me By Your Name, which is a literal wank film. Because cool. There's two dudes getting on in the film, by the way. That's the whole story of it. Like, it's this 19-year-old dude banging this... 27-year-old dude banging this, like, 17-year-old dude.
Is that legal?
In Italy it is, apparently.
Oh, okay.
That's where it's based.
Living in the wrong state. Country.
We're in the wrong country. Shit. Yeah, so we played a bit of Metal Gear Survive as well. The game's starting to open up more. I really wish you'd be getting this. We can jump into some co-op.
No.
Because we haven't... that's the one thing I haven't seen yet, is how the co-op is varied from the beta.
Well, apparently it doesn't.
That's what I'm hearing too. But like, I want
to
like...
But I'm not trusting anyone's opinions on what they
exactly
say.
And that's why like I was hoping to have a review ready to go for this week.
Yeah.
But seeing as you had your little burnout, that's fine. It happens. It's happened to me like hundreds of times. Like last year, happened all the time. So I played too many games.
Mm-hmm. Was it like 80 something?
Yeah, I played like 65 games last year.
That's too many.
Yeah, so like I'm keen to actually try the co-op and see whether it is exactly the same or if there are some variants that make it a little bit better, a little bit more fun. With the single player, it is... The first initial grind is really fucked.
That's where I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Not because of the grind, but just the amount of tutorials and dialogue.
Yeah. That's the Metal Gear.
I suppose I get it. But yeah, I played it for probably about an hour, and it was just... just let me fucking play. Yeah. Okay, I understand how to craft... I know. Just tell me where to fucking go, and I'll do it. But it was just, you know, you need to come here. Like, these the two robot things, I'm like, just...
Virgil.
I don't think I was in the mood for it at the time.
Yeah, and so if you're on rather cusp of burnout, it would
grind. Well, because I was... Yeah, that was right, you know, Monster Hunter, I'm like, whoa. And it's like just slows it right down.
Yeah. So in terms of the story, like the whole idea is in the when you first kick off is, you know, find people, bring them back to the base, rebuild your base, get your base ready, whatever, and then we're gonna use this giant wormhole thing and put a butthole in the sky, and we're gonna go through the butthole and get back to the regular dimension. So you get to a point where you use the butthole laser, giant butthole in the sky. It pulls you through. You don't end back. You don't get back. It just throws you at another part of the same dimension.
Oh, okay.
It goes, punk.
Oh, so it's fast travel.
Yeah, and you get thrown into this other area, which is a really resource poor and kind of butt. And then you work your way through there, and then it goes, all right, cool, wormhole. Let's go again. Back to where you started. It's like, what the fuck? Now, granted, I haven't got there yet, but I have, you know, this is not really spoilers because no one gives a shit about this game anyway, but like, I'm enjoying it. You know, there is an actual Metal Gear. So you don't know this, but a Metal Gear is essentially like a big fuck off weapon. It's like a, it's almost like a mech.
Right.
In some ways. And that's why it's called Metal Gear, like something. So it's all about this big weapon, and a lot of them are sort of like nuclear powered.
And they're solid, yeah.
No, that's Solid Snake, yeah. He's solid.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like there is actually Metal Gear in this, which is cool. I didn't think they were going to put one in there. That Lord of Dust, the big fuck off human centipede thing in the sky, like, yeah, I've been dealt with that only a couple of times at this point. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, though, I'm enjoying the grind. And like, it's bad, but I think it's the survival that I'm enjoying, like, not just the fact that it's a Metal Gear game, although that is helping, because the skeleton of the game is really good because it's the Fox Engine, like, it's fine. And they've clearly tweaked it, and
having the Metal Gear name gives you something to latch on to as you enjoy the mechanics of the game. Yes,
and that's what's keeping me playing. So I'm like, yeah, because this week I've had nothing but Metal Gear itch. Like, not just Metal Gear Survive, but Metal Gear in general, man. Like, I'm like, oh, I want to play him again.
Mm.
I want to play him again so bad. And, like, I watched a video. I was listening to a video at work that sort of told the Metal Gear story from, like, start to end. Because, like, I've already played all of them, so it's kind of like...
Yeah.
Just refresh. I'm like, oh fuck, that was cool. Yeah, that was really cool. Oh, and so the craziness of it, I'm like, oh man, there's that guy named Vampire who's an electrical vampire, and there's a guy named Fat Man who's just a fat dude on rollerblades, and that's the boss. And I'm like, this game's fucking nuts, and I can't wait. I really want to
go. I think I'm in an impasse where it's like, do I want the games that are open ended and I just play as much as I want to and I'm done, or do I want games with a defined ending?
Because
like, Monster Hunter doesn't have a defined ending. It's just keep playing and playing and playing and playing, and it's like, that's cool, but then when I'm doing that, I don't want to play anything else, and that's bad. But then the open-ended, I mean the closed story games, it's like, well, I can't play anything else until I finish this game.
Yeah,
I don't know, I'm in a weird headspace with games. I don't know what I want to play,
and it's really inconvenient for us trying to run games things.
Yeah, I mean, I still play them. You know, if anyone's talking about Monster Hunter, I think I know about as much as there is to know in, you know, 250 hours or whatever. But yeah, I'm just at this weird headspace where it's like, I want to play a game, but I just don't know what I want to actually sit down and put time into at the moment.
Well, right now I'm super keen for like Far Cry at the end of the month, because that's going to be a good single player game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, do I want to buy it? Do I not want to buy it? Oh,
fuck yeah, I want to play the shit out of it.
Maybe. Yeah.
Nah, keen.
Yeah. Maybe by the end of the month this whole stage will be done. It's like, fuck it, I'm straight into it.
And I should also mention as well that thanks to PlayStation Australia, I played Moss in VR. Another one of my credits to the year. So I'll do a little bit of review, then we'll jump into the news. So Moss is a VR game. It's essentially like a little puzzle platformer, kind of. The whole idea is, so you play a little mouse named Quill, and you have to go rescue your uncle who goes off an adventure, gets sort of kidnapped and caught, and you've got to go get him.
First name Peter?
No, but every time they say Quill, I'm like...
Just picture Rocket, just Quill!
Yeah, so the way it works, essentially... You're sitting at a table, pretty much, and the world is in front of you. And, like, it transitions between the two in the same way of most platformers go from the right to the left of the screen to the right of the screen, and you've got to puzzle your way through.
Mm-hmm.
It's really simple, but if this was a non-VR game, it would be kind of simple and very meh. But the VR adds a really good twist to it, because the way they design some of the puzzles, you have to physically get up and, like, kick your head around behind corners and shit.
Yeah.
So be like, oh. There was one, like, I was stuck on one this morning when I was finishing the game off. And it's like, you need to get to this platform. I'm like, I'm, you know, there's a bunch of, like, levers and elevators and stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't get, you know, there are only one, like, there's an enemy that can trigger switches, right? So I'm like, all right, well, if I trigger this switch, he'll come down to here. Then he can trigger that switch, but I need to trigger that switch somehow. And I'm trying to work it on out. I only got one creature to do both. Turns out, what I thought was a wall was a doorway. So I could just go, and then game to trigger that, and I'm good. And I spent an hour just like trying to, it felt like an hour, just trying to like juggle it all around. Yeah. And all because I didn't, and then I went to like lean on my leg and think, wait. Oh, fuck. And then there's one. Yeah, idiot. But no, like, it's really charming. It's really fun. It's about, I think it's about 4 hours. I think I did it in about 3.5, it felt like. But
an hour of that coming from that last puzzle you were stuck on.
No, I think it's about three and a half hours long, from what I took out of it anyway. It's really charming. Pretty easy platinum if you're one of those guys. I got about 80% of the trophies.
Why won't you take it off?
Because I'd have to play it again. 3 hours, probably could.
It's platinum. You haven't got a platinum this year.
I don't have a platinum this year. But so the way this sort of... Have you still a platinum this year?
Pyre.
Oh, you did too. That's
really
right.
Proud of that one.
So it is open to a sequel, of course. Mm-hmm. This is technically referred to as book one of the Moss story.
Yep.
So the whole idea, yeah. So you're referred to as the reader. So you're like you're reading a book. You're reading a book.
Pyre.
Yep.
You're the reader.
Oh shit. Yes, yeah, so you're reading this book in this old chapel, which is rad, by the way. And then it's telling you this story, and then you're flipping the page, and then it'll zoom you in the book, and then you tell the story. One of the things I really love about this game as well is because you're so laser focused on the small puzzle area, you kind of forget about the open and the outside.
Mm.
Especially when you're in this forest area, you're locked in on the puzzle, and then you go, hang on, something catches your eye, you go, what the? You look up, and then it's this huge, lush forest. And on top of that, there's like, a battle has taken place here. There's swords, there's bodies, there's helmets. And then one moment there's a fucking deer. And you're like, whoa. And then later on when you find this castle, it's like this huge castle. Like, man, best thing about VR by far is just the scale of shit. Like, it's rad.
Nice. Recommend?
I would. I'm not quite sure what it's priced at. But it's a good 3.5, you know, it's a good 3-hour experience. I enjoyed myself with it. I would recommend it, but I did feel it was probably a little short. I would have liked a little bit more time out of it.
Depends how much it costs. I'm finding out.
That'd probably be US pricing, but
yeah, we're good enough it. Sweet.
Doesn't say. I think I'm gonna assume it's like $30. As I pick my nose.
I click buy. We'll see what happens. I click buy on the PlayStation Store and AVG's like, protect your credit card number.
Hey, thanks, AVG.
Yeah, $44.95.
For Aussie? Okay, that's probably a little much. You know, $45 for like a, you know, 3.5 hour experience is a little bit steep. But it is charming. And in the same way... You know, we talk about how, like, sometimes VR can look a little bit janky. It doesn't quite sharp. Mm-hmm. By having it this laser focus on a small puzzle area and not trying to build full 3D worlds, you can walk around. It is quite sharp. It does look really nice. And Quill is a really cool little character.
Different people perceive value differently.
That is true.
Mm.
I enjoyed it. And that's... Sweet. Once again, thank you to PlayStation Australia for sending us the code for Moss. But let's head into the news this week in a section that we call Inform the Players.
I'm going to get through it kind of quick-ish because I forgot my laptop charger.
Oh, shit. All right, let's run through this. Go.
40%. Should be fine. 7 Bits in News. Detroit Become Human, the next game from David Cage's Quantic Dream, will be released on May 25th. Cage himself made the announcement on the PlayStation blog, calling it, quote, Quantic Dream's most ambitious title to date.
Can we just mention... how we fucking called it?
I didn't call shit.
You called it? No, I'm positive. We both were like, yeah, fucking May.
Positive.
Because in our predictions episode, I'm positive we did.
Cool. We called it.
Fucking it was. Yeah, and then, you know.
But you're the one who's always had your foot down about it's got to be 3 months.
Three months is the minimum.
But it's actually 2 months and 3 weeks.
That's fine. I still think I'm right.
Close enough.
So in that case, as I have a small stroke, I think we'll hear about Spider-Man come April. They'll go, okay, cool, Spider-Man's coming into June.
That's only 2 months.
April.
Well, it depends when, I guess. End of April, start of June, it's like a month and a week. But if you go start of April, end of June,
that's what I meant. Start of April, yeah, okay, yeah.
Because, I think Spider-Man's the only one we're waiting for. Days Gone never had the 2018 window.
So I still think August, September.
No, I don't think Days Gone will even be out this year.
How dare you?
If it was going to be out this year, they would have given it the 2018 window.
Yeah, true.
I think, by now.
Mm.
And they haven't. So we're just waiting for Spider-Man, really, now, for this year. Because, you know, at the end of the year, we got Red Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
granted, I predicted June on that one, so that's wrong.
Mm. I don't know. They could find room for it, I guess. But I don't really care.
They'll make it work. So are you still keen for Detroit? Where are you sitting?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, because this is one of the things that sort of is coming out, because the internet never forgets and the internet's a horrible fucking place. When they're like, well, remember that time they were really shitty? And I'm like, yeah.
But But that's, from what I said about Konami last week, people worked really hard on this game that aren't shitty people and just want to make a good game.
So exactly.
Can't be a hypocrite, even that's though it. I am.
I'm gonna play the I'm hypocritical all the time, but I'm gonna play the crap out of that game. Moving on.
I live off my hypocrisy. Number two, since its release 1 year ago, Horizon Zero Dawn has sold over 7.6 million copies and is the most successful new first-party franchise to launch on PS4. Quote: "We are incredibly grateful that Horizon Zero Dawn and Horizon Zero Dawn, the Frozen Wilds have been received so positively by so many gamers," said Sean Layden, chairman of SIE Worldwide Studios, "and it is a testament to the fantastic work of the entire team at Guerrilla. Quote, the combination of beautiful storytelling and great characters with excellent gameplay mechanics has resonated well with fans and led to this exceptional sales milestone."
So well my deserved. Stepfather, who is jumping into the games, he's been doing it the last couple of years, after putting what seems like hundreds of hours into The Witcher 3, he's like, "This is my favorite game, it's the best game ever." He's like, "I need a new game to play." I'm like, "Check out Horizon, dude. Like, they just announced the complete edition. Here you go, check it out." He's like, "No, okay, cool, yeah, I see it." I got a call from my mum last night. He's like, "You want to stop playing the damn game?"
Yeah.
Like, he said to me yesterday, "This game's better than The Witcher."
Well, that's debatable, but
I'm like, man, he tops, like, he's, he'll really change loves real quick. No,
watch out, mum. No, but, you know, it's always like, you really enjoy a game, and then you play another game that you really enjoy. So because you're playing it at the moment, you're like, "This game's better." It's not, you know. You look back.
But I think he likes fighting the big, big dinos. Yeah, which you didn't really. You got that, but not in the same.
So you know, the most successful new first party franchise. There hasn't been many others. It was The Order, Until Dawn.
Is it, does he especially say on PS4
to launch on PS4?
Yeah.
So, that, like, The Order, Until Dawn. There was another one as well. Help.
What?
There's three other first party launches of new IPs on PS4. Until Dawn, The Order 1886, and there's one more. Oh. Can't remember, so it must have been shit anyway. So the competition wasn't really there, but
yes, still, you caught me off guard, so I'm not sure.
7.6 million copies is great.
Yeah, that's almost Uncharted 4 numbers, which is pretty good.
Yeah, for a new IP. It's fucking rad.
Fantastic.
The Blackout Club is a cooperative horror game from Question, a studio built by industry veterans whose work includes Bioshock 2, Bioshock Infinite, and Dishonored. The game follows a group of teens in a small town who band together after learning they've all been temporarily losing consciousness. None of the adult members of the community will speak to the kids about the incidents, including the disappearance of one of their close friends. Instead, the group launches its own investigation. What they discover is a hostile underworld beneath their own, populated by a clandestine group. Sure. Clandestine group of adults. Characters customizable, each with a variety of powers and equipment loadouts. Group members each have their own roles to play, gathering evidence to prove the crimes of the adults, including deploying drones and traps. At the end of each mission, players level up, acquire new abilities for future outings. So I put this in because it's being developed by people who developed very highly regarded games. So I watched the trailer. It's only about 45 seconds. It looks scary as fuck. Seems to be like it'll be either single player with 3 AI or 4 player co-op. So essentially, like, you know, beneath the town there's like a cult of the adults, like, doing fucked up things, so you need to, like, investigate that without being seen and stuff like that. But some of the you don't see a lot in the trailer, but the atmosphere and the imagery is, like, really, really cool. And it seems to have that, it might be a oversaid line at the moment, but it seems to have that Bioshocky kind of feeling, like Bioshock 1, where it's just real creepy and atmospheric, and seems cool. I'd encourage anyone to watch the trailer who may be interested.
Rad.
After a series of teasers, Blizzard has confirmed Overwatch Hero 27 is Brigitta, it says Bridget, but it's pronounced Brigitta Lindholm, who will be available on the PTR at the moment. Brigitta's strengths lie in armor and defense as a support character, including her ability to throw repair packs and use her flail, a melee weapon, allowing her to hit a number of enemies with one swing. The new hero's reveal comes after Blizzard teased a new challenger on Twitter via two images. Those images pointed to Torbjorn's daughter and weapon specialist Brigitta, as well as hints of a jetpack cat character Blizzard previously designed but never implemented into the game. Brigitta was the first of his children to show an interest in mechanical engineering, and her interests lied more in armor creation and defensive systems rather than weapons. So she's Torbjorn's daughter, you know, Torbjorn, the little dwarf guy with the turret.
Torbjorn!
And she was in the war, Reinhardt's squire. So she would, after battle, he'd come back all beaten up and shit, and she'd be the one to repair him.
She's all so she's connected to the overall
lore. She's all connected to the overall lore, yes, so she'd fix him up, and then she kind of got into her head. She's like, I can help more by getting out there and doing it. So it's always a big deal when a new character gets put into Overwatch. It does renew a bit of interest, like, how's this going to change everything?
Has it piqued your interest?
Yeah, it has. I updated it last night. Only like a 300 meg patch, but I just didn't want to play after it finished downloading. But, you know, it's a cool new character. Blizzard are very good with character designs. And, you know, they've got like a little intro cinematic for her and stuff. And, yeah, it's very cool. Very cool stuff. Yeah. Especially with the Overwatch League now. It shakes things up a lot. I know you're over it, but, you know. The Entertainment Software Rating Board has announced that it will be assigning labels to physical games with microtransactions. Consumers will be warned about elements such as season passes, virtual currency, and loot boxes by the new in-game purchases sticker. The sticker will solve all our problems. The label will also be present wherever those games can be downloaded in the near future. ESRB's goal is to provide parents with comprehensive tools to make decisions on what games are appropriate for their children. Quote, parents will know when a game contains offers... Parents will know when a game contains offers for players to purchase additional content, ESRB President Patricia Vance said in a statement.
Hey, Patricia, you're a fucking idiot.
A sweet lot of fucking nothing.
You know what they're going to do? Just put a bunch of stickers on every box. Because it, by putting season passes and you know, DLC as sort of like key words there...
Our good friend, our good YouTube star, Mr. Sterling, pointed out that even games like The Witcher 3 will receive this sticker.
Yeah, because it has season pass and two DLCs, which, mind you, that is not in the same category. No. This is a very limited, you're like, this is balls.
But even so, like, games already have, like, their age rating sticker on them, which are completely fucking ignored. Mm. So this sticker, it's not educating people. It'll just have... It's just another sticker.
It is a literal Band-Aid.
Yeah, it's just a... You're like, it's, yeah, a Band-Aid. The parents won't even read it, probably. Like, Mum, can I get this? They look at the rating, go, yeah, okay, fine. Like, and even if they read the sticker, it's not telling them exactly what that means. So it's not educating anyone in any way. So it's just... It's nothing. It's just so they can say, we're doing something, I think. So...
that would probably be the closest thing.
A lot of the legislators aren't happy with that.
Good
response. So this will not be the end, and it's actually surprised me that this is still going, because normally, especially in the games industry, everything just blows over stuff, so quickly. But this is still going, so that's really good. PS Plus games for March 2018. Holy shit!
Yeah,
on PS4 you will get Bloodborne and Ratchet and Clank. PS3 you will get The Legend of K and Mighty Number 9, also cross by with PS4. For Vita you'll get Claire Extended Cut. And Bombing Busters. So on PS4 you get Bloodborne, Ratchet and Clank, and Mighty Number 9.
Man,
I'm interested to try Mighty Number 9.
Yeah,
it looks fine, it's free.
It's one of those things I wouldn't pay for it, so it's kind of like.
But the thing is, I've seen it's one of those internet memes at this point.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to really form my own opinion on it, because I was never into the it's a big Kickstarter fuss and all that.
That and sort of the Mega Man.
Yeah, but I never gave a shit about Mega Man.
Agreed.
Will it be fun? It's gonna be free, so cool. I've already got Bloodborne and Ratchet and Clank, but it's still
I have Ratchet and Clank and I loved it. It's a fantastic game. But Bloodborne is what I've always been interested in, but I've kind of never be willing to throw money at it, mostly because I'm really bad at those games.
I've seen it as low as $14 at EB Games for the base edition. That's insane.
But yeah, even that, I'm like, I'd get mad at it super fast.
The thing I love the most about the Bloodborne, the From Software games, is I've said before, the imagery and the landscapes, you know, they're all Victorian Gothic stuff. I love it so much. And when it comes to the gameplay, you know, I just love if there was like an exploration mode or something where I can just walk around and go, wow, cool, without being like, wow.
I think it's the first wow.
Yeah. I think I killed the first four bosses.
Very nice.
In Bloodborne. Not that I think you can kind of go to a lot of them in any order you want. I've killed four bosses. But I don't know. I don't enjoy it when I play it. I'm always so tense, and a lot of people love that. You know, that tension of like, what's around the corner? Oh, it's a giant pig. Get like trampled and shit. But I don't like the tension. I'd just rather just like bayonet of that shit. Just
game's dope, by the way.
But it, yeah, game's pretty cool. But yeah, I'll be interested to see what you have to say about it.
Yeah, I'll jump on it.
The top selling games for week ending 25th of February 2018, starting at number 10, Crash Insane Trilogy. Number 9, Kingdom Come Deliverance. Number 8, Metal Gear Survive. Not a great debut for that game.
It's in there, though.
It's in there, though. Number 7, Shadow of the Colossus. Number 6, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 5, COD World War 2. Number 4, Sword Art Online, Fatal Bullet. Number 3, Uncharted, The Lost Legacy. Number 2, UFC 3. I think it was on a big special. Oh. And number 1, Monster Hunter World.
It's good to see Metal Gear in there.
It's there.
Yeah.
It probably sold 3. Yeah, you know, the joke we make every week that's probably just ran to the ground at this moment, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's off, you know, 4 copies. Like.
That's it for the news, Ryan. As we move into the segment... No, as we have a chat to the players about... I don't even think how to title this.
Yeah, so essentially, with the announcement of Bloodborne and Ratchet and this month's PS Plus games, Sony made an announcement that as of March 2019, they will no longer be supporting PS3 and PlayStation Vita in the PS Plus lineup. Now, when I first read this, I thought it was 2018. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, not like I really... Like, but then it was one of those moments of, I don't really play on my PS3 much anyway. My Vita, rarely. It lives on the shelf now.
Mm.
And that got me thinking. It's been a long time since the PS3 and the Vita have been out. Rather than sort of having a discussion, it is based on a new story, but like, rather than sort of, here's our hot takes on something, let's just tell stories. Let's talk about our times with the PS3, our time with the Vita.
Let's have a quick hot take on it, I think. Let's have a
hot take first.
I think it makes total sense.
Fuck yeah, it does. It makes sense. The internet's like so mad. I'm like, why? No, it
does signify, you know, it is the end of an era because they're going to be running out of titles. They, judging by what they've had like in the last few months, they're really like bottom of the barrel. Like the brown crusty ice cream at the bottom of a Baskin Robbins.
Robbins.
I thought I was making a really good analogy and then I fucked it.
But you were, yes.
Yeah, and the same with the Vita. We've known the Vita's done and dusted for about 2 years now. But what'll be interesting to see is how does that affect what we get on PS4? Because at the moment, the agreement is we pay blah and you give us 6 games-ish.
Mm.
Now they can't
normally one or two of quality value and a bunch of averages.
Yeah, and a bunch of averages or a couple of indies, or rarely you'll launch a game like Rocket League, which really, you know. But does that mean we'll be getting like more on the PS? They can't take away and not give something back, if you know what I mean. Or can they? Like, I'm sure it's probably in the licensing agreement or whatever. It's written in there somewhere, subject to change at any time.
And at the same time, they don't have to give us shit.
Correct.
My theory is, so by March of next year, the PSVR would be out for 2 years. I'm expecting they'll replace it with a VR game.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I think a lot of the fuss is coming from you taketh away, but what do you give back?
Mm.
You know, you're taking away 4-ish games per month from us. Because I imagine there are people that get have their PS4, PS3 and their Vita every month, and they've got all 3 going at once. And it's like, so you're taking away, but what do we get in return for this? And, you know, it doesn't have to be anything, but from a consumer point of view, it's like, maybe it should be.
And then just jack up the prices too.
Yeah. And it costs more to buy the 3-month sub than 3 1-month subs. By like $1.50. It does.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's $34.95 for 3 months or $10.95 a month. So it's like $33.90-ish to buy 3 1-months. So you save like $1. Fucking chumps. But yeah, anyway, I think it makes sense, but I do think they should supplement with something else. Your idea of a VR title was good, I think.
Yeah.
Or Playlink as well.
Yeah, I'll bring it. Yeah, put a Playlink in there for a couple of months.
Yeah. Because they had That to You on there for like 3 months when it came out. So yeah, maybe because they're obviously still going with Playlink games because what just came out? What was it called?
Frantix comes out next week.
Yeah. So yeah, put a Playlink game on there for 3 months. And every month have 2 PS4 games and a VR title. I think a lot of people.
Yeah, because by then, yeah, 2 years in, they could start pumping out some of the first wave VR games for free. Yeah. Put, you know, Batman up there is probably the big hitter of the first one, and then sort of.
That'd be a good one to kind of come out with.
Yeah, you know, it would be huge.
Now we're putting VR games on there, and you know, Batman's your first one.
Is Batman what?
What? You can't play that on your fucking Vita.
What's, I like your gangster hands.
Spaz hands.
But yeah, I was thinking maybe we could just sort of talk about some PlayStation history.
Reminisce. On the PS3 days.
PS3 and Vitas.
I remember Dad bought a PS3 on launch night.
Mm.
I was working at Dick Smith at the time for the... We did a midnight launch for it. Mm-hmm. This is a big store that used to be on Melbourne Road. It's some fucking heater shop now or something. But so the boss was like, do you want to do it? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. But Dad's like, I want to buy one. I was like, all right, I'll do it so Dad can come in. And he was the only one person that came in.
Really?
He was the only one that bought one. Yeah. Dick Smith was like in the toilet at that point.
Oh.
But he spent $1,099.
Got the 60 gig.
He got the... Yeah. 60 gig backwards compatible. Was it 40 gig backwards compatible?
No, it was 60. It was 40 and 60.
Yeah, the launch one that was backwards compatible. He still has it at home. That's what he got. And he got, like, I think Gran Turismo. That was a launch title? Yeah. He got a car game. And yeah, then he bought it right before I finished work. And then I went home with him and we played it till like 5 a.m. And I went back to work at 8:30.
No, Motorstorm. I think Motorstorm.
Yeah, Motorstorm maybe. Yeah. That's my first experience with a PS3 because we weren't allowed to, like, we had them in the store a week or so before the launch. We weren't allowed to open the box. They were quarantined. They were in a cage with, like, a padlock that only the boss had a key for. I could have gotten in there because I'm a spider monkey. Back when I was thin back then. I could scale cages and shit. I used to do all kinds of shit in the warehouse back then. But yeah, all the games were, like, under lock and key. Like, couldn't see shit.
Mm.
So yeah, that night I got to set it up in our display case and all that, and it was like so polished. I hate it now because you get like fingerprints and shit on it. But at the time when it was the glossy cover, it was real nice. And yeah, took it home, we set it up, made him a PSN because I think he didn't need a PSN before PS3.
He did, yeah.
So I made him that. His PSN name was Pichu, which is his name in Hungarian, his home country. Which I said was Pokemon, but you didn't believe me. But yeah, that was my first experience with the PS3, and yeah, we played Motorstorm, and there was something else. I can't remember what it was.
I think Resistance was one of the launch titles as well.
No, I don't think it was that. It was a garbage game. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, no, it was really cool. Well, really nice.
I didn't get mine launched because I was in high school at the time, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think it was right on the tail end of high school. So I got mine, I think it was my first year of university. I think it was a year or so in, maybe 2 years into the life cycle. I remember I bought the Metal Gear Solid 4 pack. I can remember because it was... So I bought the 40 gig one. It was $800. So I remember I had it on lay-by at the Melbourne Central EB Games. And I was, working at McDonald's at the time. So for 8 weeks, $100, bam. Mm-hmm. So while I was studying, I'd work, whatever, I'd study, go to university in the city, on the way home, stop by, put my $100 in that week, bounce, come back.
Yeah. You're the kind of pre-order customer or like lay-by customer they love.
Yeah.
Because it's when you put like the deposit and then don't go in there for 2 months.
That's well, worse. For me, because the term of the lay-by was 8 weeks. Yeah. I'm like, it's $800. I have to put $100 on this a week.
Yeah, okay.
That's how I could get it. I had to budget. I had to do it.
It's not like doing like a Christmas Kmart label where it's like, leave $20 now, and then it's the week before Christmas. You're like, fuck, I've got $700 to pay.
Yeah, so I was like, bing, 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 bing. I remember picking it up and then going to the pub, having a few beers, then training home. Yeah, like a little bit pissed. Fucking PS3 under my arm.
Backpack.
Yeah, I remember setting it up because my dad had it was a pretty high-end TV at the time. So it was like one of the first sort of like flat screen TVs. It was like 1080i, I think.
Yeah, dad had some like huge rear pro, like a 50-inch. Yeah, it was like flat screen, but it was like really fucking heavy on the back. I think it was a rear pro. I think that's what they were called.
Yeah, like a big fuck-off CRT, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so dad was like this, I think it was like a plasma, maybe an LED, but like an early stage LED. About 40, yeah. So just regardless, I've been playing PS2 up at this point, even on this TV.
Mm.
So I've been playing it through like composite shit. So I'm like, I remember plugging it in. I can't remember what I had for dinner that night. It was like salmon and rice. I don't know why.
No, like, so beautiful.
Like my brain associates the smell of cooked fish with my PS3. Because that was like, I was playing it and dad's like, you gotta have dinner. I'm like, fuck you. I'm like, yeah, like, So like I was thinking, remember, yeah, putting in Metal Gear Solid 4 and doing its ridiculous fucking garbage, insane length of install time.
Oh, yeah.
Because it had five acts and it would essentially install one act. Mm. You play it, it would uninstall, then reinstall the next act.
What?
Yeah, so it was like 20, because it was just dense game.
Yeah.
So it was like, because back then they didn't have the capacity to be like, this game is 50 gig. Bam! So they would do it like that. And the loading screen between is like old Snake having a fucking cigarette. So like it's 20 minutes, he's panning out like four cigarettes between. Like
when the dude's got hardcore cancer.
Yeah, he's fine. There's a reason he's called Old Snake. I remember just
he's
being,
actually 30, but his lungs are 75.
Well, that's actually true, because he's a clone and aging advanced. It's Metal Gear stuff.
Yep.
I remember looking at going, this is insane. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Because I distinctly remember going to, there was an exhibition a good couple of years ago. It was called Game On. It was in the Melbourne, it was in the city, at the ACME, the Australian Centre of the Moving Image. And they had a big expo called Game On. The whole idea was you would go in there and you would see games from initial to now. So you would walk through, it was like an exhibit. Yeah, so you, the exhibit, not exhibition, exhibit. Mm. So you would go and you'd see Pong, you could play Pong, you know, you would.
Like a timeline.
Yeah, as you move around, you're seeing as games develop, and at the end, it's like, here's the fucking PS3. I'm like, I'm like, this is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
It looks so good. And then, like, the first thing I remember noticing is because with the switch from PS2 to PS3, like, your accelerator.
Why doesn't the controller have any cables?
Your accelerator was the triggers. These should be buttons. I'm like, this is nuts. It's not going to fucking pedal. And I'm like, yeah, where's the cable? Where's the rumble?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, I have such fond memories of getting my PS3.
I don't remember when I got mine. I really don't.
Mm.
I think I was in like deep depression then. Like during that time of my life, I think I was like way deep in it. Yeah. So there's a lot of like periods of like from my 16 to maybe 20, early 20s that I just flat out don't fucking remember. Mm. And getting the PS3 was one of them. But I all my most fondest memory was where I used to live had like a, I guess you'd, it's not like, it's not. It wasn't a second living room. It wasn't a family room. It was more like what Americans would call like a den.
Mm.
It was this dingy extension to the back of the house. It had like shitty carpet and like an old potbelly heater there as well. Yeah. I remember going to Fantastic Furniture and buying a $100 sofa. Just this fuck card. Like may as well be made out of cardboard and wood. It was to an extent. But I remember, sitting in the den with Black Ops for... must have been hundreds of hours.
Mm.
Like, I don't really associate Modern Warfare to COD. Like, for whatever reason, even though I played them first and I look back on them very fondly, more fondly than I look back on Black Ops, but for whatever reason, all I can think of playing on my PS3 was Black Ops.
Mm.
And with the multiplayer, just being blown away. I still remember those maps, like the back of my hand, I still remember those maps. And just the best thing to do would just be to like finish work, stop at the bottle on the way home because I was depressed, so I drank. I got a bottle of whiskey in the den, put on the pot belly heater because I was fucking freezing in there, and just playing like my life away. And then we had a garage in the backyard, which also had like another separate, like a bedroom on it. It wasn't used, it was storage. So I'm like, I'm going to like move out here because I fucking hate my missus. I'm going to like live in the backyard. So I moved the PS3 and the TV and the couch into like this dingy back room. And she like, what was it? We were looking at something on the couch in that room. I wanted to leave, but she wouldn't. So she's like, can you like internet? I'm like, you can internet on the PS3, open up the browser, Pornhub. Oh, shit. I don't know why I remember that. Because, yeah, it had a web browser on it, yeah?
Yeah.
And it just saved whatever you're looking at last, which was hardcore porn.
She's like, yeah.
No, that caused an argument. She's a bitch.
Twice is no longer a red.
Yeah, Black Ops and porn. That's my PS3.
See, my memories for that, like, so I remember getting, being super hyped for GTA 4. I remember the trams in the city were just plastered with marketing. I remember buying the special edition that come like in one of those lock boxes. Oh, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Oh.
What about the Vita?
I'm gonna.
Still going.
I want some, dude. My memories from the PS3 are just like, there's a. the console life cycle was like 10 years, and like that I live, like that's why I first really started getting into gaming. Like I've always gamed when I was younger, and like, but it was the first console that I bought entirely myself. Like my PS2, I bought majority myself. My parents still helped. This is entirely the one I bought myself. And so every game I ever got on it was ones that I bought myself. In terms of Call of Duty had a massive presence on PS3 with me, because like you know Max, one of our community members, like I remember him, myself, a couple other buddies, for the better part of like 8 months, almost every night we would play, and I think it was mostly Modern Warfare 2 at the time.
Yeah, apparently that's getting remastered. There's a rumor about that too.
We'll pay $80 for that.
Well, I was going to put this in news, but I didn't. But Activision did have at one of their meetings said we're looking at dipping into our past titles and remastering them. I was looking through our back catalogue, so Spyro. But for some reason, everyone was like, no, they're going to do Modern Warfare 2. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's an interesting tidbit.
But, you know, speaking of games being remastered, like Burnout Paradise, I don't have strong memories about that on PS3. But, no, like, yeah, that was first when I got into online gaming, because we always had garbage internet as well. And I remember when we moved to, I think, my house in, like, Mill Park, whatever it was, when we actually had some internet. Ooh, yeah. Lots of late nights. Should have been studying. Wasn't, just playing.
Studying's overrated.
Yeah. I remember I played my PS3 so much that I actually blew out the thermal paste on the CPU, and I got the yellow light of death.
Oh no.
Yeah, now I have the, so that's that one there. This is the original back here. This is the OG from day one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking at work now.
Yeah.
Now I got a slim.
Yeah, my PS3 never died. I still got my original. And PS4's died. I had to replace that recently. But then I put the old one in Alex's room so he can watch like Netflix and shit. And the issue it was having is just non-existent anymore. So I don't know. Maybe I played myself. I'm like, I really want a new one, but I need an excuse. It's like, it keeps ejecting discs. It did it like once ever. No, but it did get really bad where you'd put it in and it just spit it back out. I'm like, well, I can't fucking play anything like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been in Alex's room for about a month now and has never done it. So I don't know.
But yeah, and then yeah, jump to. I'm sure I could talk about the PS3 like all day, and I probably could. I'm thinking about it, but
I don't have many like big Vita memories. I've had three of them.
That's pretty good.
Because I had one. I broke it. I bought another one. There's nothing I wanted to play, so I traded it towards a DS to play the new Pokemon game, and then I went back and bought another one like a couple years later. So I've still got it now, but. Like, the only game that I'm like, the only thing that's making me keep my Vita is Persona 4, because I'm going to want to play that again at some point in my life, and at the moment that's the only place you can play it. Unless you could probably get a ROM on PC, but that's not. I don't like ROMing games. I don't really have any like moral obligation against it. It's just like I don't like doing it because I like playing them how they're meant to be played, how they like the way they're developed to be played. But yeah, Persona 4 is one of the best games I've ever played, like in my life. And so I just associate that game with my Vita. Like all my memories of playing, like whenever I think fondly back to Persona 4, I'm thinking of my Vita at the same time. Everything else I got pretty much all the PS2 Final Fantasies. I got 7, 8, and 9 on there. Played them for a while, but could never really, like, really get back into them. Got, like, the classic Crash and Medieval. I got a lot of classic games on there, but Persona 4 is just... That's my Vita experience.
Yeah, look, I picked up my Vita from Gumtree a couple of years back. I was okay with all the memory cards and shit. I didn't really have to spend that much. But for me, it's tied to the nostalgia of PS1 games. Like, I just play apart from the couple, like, you know, Uncharted, Golden Abyss, that sort of stuff. But 99% of the time, I'm playing classics on there. And that's where my love
for it. Remember when we first started hanging out, we'd, like, catch the train to Melbourne to go comic booking, and we'd be, like, passing Crash between each other and stuff like that. But... You know, the Vita just didn't have enough of those moments, you know, because Sony fucked it.
Yeah.
Really. Abe's Odyssey, though, as well.
Yeah.
I did play that a fair bit. But yeah, so unfortunately, I don't have too much more to say about the Vita. Like I said, Persona 4 is one of the best games I think ever created. And the Vita is the only place you can play it. So that's why I keep it. Because I'm going to want to play it again at some point.
Yeah, look, for me, I really... I enjoy my Vita quite a lot. Like, I think I romanticize it a little bit too much. I think, you know, because I have the nostalgia-ness with the... It's all linked to the PS1 shit on there.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, as much as I did... Like, I also really liked the network play with it as well. However, I could never get it to work.
Yeah. And I remember trying to play Minecraft on it, and on PS4, the L2 and R2 buttons are quite important.
Mm.
And the Vita, it's that touch thing. And I know you can get attachments and shit for it, but...
But the attachment only fits the Slim.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I didn't buy one then. So I just remember just being frustrated with any game that needed L2 and R2 inputs, like any kind of shooter, anything like that. I was like, I'm not playing this. Because it just...
And I agree. And that's one of the big kickers for me. Mm. I oddly always want to buy a Slim one, just so then I can get the adapter and I probably would use it more. But right now, there's no...
Not with the Switch.
No reason.
Yeah. I don't think there's... Other than the classics, like the PlayStation classics, I don't think there's anything you could get on there that's not going to be on the Switch or is already on the Switch. But, yeah, I don't know. I like it. Like, I like having one.
Mm.
It's very pretty.
It's very nice. And it looks good on the shelf, and that's what's important.
Aesthetics.
But goddamn, I love my PS3. Oh.
Do you have one more story?
Not really.
I know how much room you got on this memory card.
Yeah,
I'm
not doing
it. And my laptop's...
Obviously, one of the big things, PS3. Can't forget Rock Band, Guitar Hero.
Yeah, yeah. I remember playing those with some friends when in Port Arlington.
I remember like
Caravan Park.
They used to be part of the routine. I'd go to my uncle's place with a buddy. I'd bring the PS3, the drum kit, the guitars, chuck them in the car, bottle out, get shit-faced, play Rock Band on like his big old back, on his big back porch, get shit-faced, play video games, jump in the pool, then vomit and go to bed.
Not in that particular order.
No, most of that order. Sometimes vomit in bed, but I love my PS3 so much.
Got any questions before we head into the
drop? We do have questions. All right, let's quickly jump into these questions as I totally forgot about them. All right, where is... I've lost my thing. There it is. Nope, that's not it.
You had it open before we started the show.
And then Facebook forgot. Okay, a couple of questions from the community. Max Cooper, as you mentioned before, my PS3 buddies. He says, how do you tackle going back to a game that you've put down for some time? Do you try and pick up where you left off? Do you start fresh? Or do you never look back?
I wish I knew. Because I want to go back to Nier to actually finish that off. And I think I've got a pretty good idea of what was going on and where I was up to, but I really, really don't want to start it again at the same time. So I wish I knew. It all depends on the game, I suppose. But as, like, normally with a game like Nier, I'd just go, oh, fuck it, I'm going to start again. But I think because of the way they've structured the multiple endings and the multiple playthroughs, that I think playing it for about an hour, everything will have kind of pieced itself back together. Because essentially, you play the game through once, and then you play it through again with a different character, but the same story, but what you did in the previous playthrough has influenced the second playthrough. So I think that'll help kind of tie it all back in with itself. But as for games like The Witcher, I put in like 130 hours, didn't finish it, but if I was going to go back to it, I'd start it again.
Yeah. See, a lot of the time for me, because with the nature of what we do, that I have so many games I never finish. Mm. And that's the tough part, because I'm like, oh, I would like to go back to that, but I never do.
Mm.
Because we keep moving forward, and as I'm saying, like, I'm really right now, I'm like, fuck, I want to play Metal Gear Solid again, and I think I could, but it's like, why? And then there's other shit I have to play, and, you know, but 99% of the time, like, with Last of Us, right, I've started Last of Us, like, 4 times. And, like, right now, it's still close enough that I could go back, finish, jump off where I was last played, but... Yeah.
I've kept my resolution of finishing every game I buy this year, except for one so far, which is Celeste. I think I'm about halfway through. It's just too hard. I don't enjoy it, but I want to finish it.
You don't enjoy it?
No.
Oh, that's not good.
It's just... I enjoy it aesthetically, and I like the mood they're going for and the story, and the gameplay is super tight, but I don't have fun playing it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Paul James has asked the question... my take on Sony moving their focuses to first party is that they're looking to staff up many of their teams. Potentially the product is a two-team studio in some cases, so that they hit the ground running next gen. One of the first complaints about PS4 in the first few years was the lack of quality exclusive. I think they're keen to ensure this doesn't happen.
Yeah, then they're not going to have that problem again.
This is off the story that sort of hit the internet of Sony are focused on doubling down on first parties. Well, duh.
It was so clickbaity. I was going to put it in the news. Basically, there was a lot of news stories saying, you know, Sony announces they're doubling down on first party game production. And it was essentially a quote from Sony, be like, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, cool.
Yeah, and like, granted, they've got a lot of deals with third parties in terms of like, you know, marketing rights. If they're in way, if they're saying this almost way, hey, we're not going to put as much money into backing third parties marketing wise, we're going to invest the money in ourselves. That would make sense. However, like, that's a horrible decision.
I think that's horrible a mistake. Decision because, like, they have enough first parties now. I reckon they're at the sweet spot where it's like you get three or four like good first party exclusives every year. That's amazing. That's great. Any more, I think, is overkill. And to do more at the expense of having those third party deals with Activision and Capcom now with Monster Hunter and Star Wars had it as well, I think that's a mistake. Because while the first party stuff, to me anyway, is supplementary to... I'm there for the third-party games because there's more of them, but when there's a good first-party game, that's, like, rewarding me for being a PlayStation fan. So I think going the other way might
be... mine goes the other way. As I play PlayStation for the first parties, and because I'm playing PlayStation, that's where my third parties live.
Now, see, I'm the opposite.
Interesting.
But having said that, I'd be upset if I owned an Xbox right now.
I'd be so
because
bummed.
I'm not getting either.
I'd be so bummed.
Like, I could deal with the lack of third-party support on the Xbox if there was killer first-party games.
Mm.
Or the other way around. If there was not a lot of first-party games, but they had all the third-party support, that's... Okay, I can compromise that, but they've got neither.
Well, they do have the third-party support, but we're talking about exclusives, like the DLC and shit and all that extra bonusy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the games, but they don't get, like, all the marketing and, like... For Monster Hunter, we know the Aloy crossover, Xbox has nothing because they have no good characters to do any crossovers with. But that's what I mean. Sony, you get both. So I think they're at a sweet spot like now. This is peak Sony. We're getting heaps of cool new first IPs. We're getting heaps of good third-party marketing deals.
I agree.
I wouldn't want to see them sacrifice one for the other.
Speaking of PlayStation, as we have to watch this whole episode, David Chataway says, when does the Pro become the only option available this generation, or will the standard hold the Pro back until next gen? I believe it'll hold it back. We are transitioning into a point where, you know, games, right, we use the Xbox One X and the Xbox as an example. They run like hot trash on the Xbox One. But the Xbox One X, they run fine. But the issue being is they're making... This whole mid-generation refresh thing is nothing but preventing growth, whether it be in the quality of the games. Because games are moving forward, but they're like, oh, we have to make a subpar version for these back ones.
Yeah, I mean, they'll never... I don't think this generation, however you want to define a generation anymore, because I don't think anyone really knows what's going on at the moment, there will never be a point where the PS4 Pro is the only option. It won't be. They can take $200 off it and bring it into the price that the Slim is now, which will not happen.
Which they will do in time.
Yeah.
But I think there will come a point where it's probably best. Because notice every time they show off a game now at a conference, it's running on a PS4 Pro.
Yeah. But the issue with that is like, if it gets to that point, like, that point might not be for another 2 or 3 years. By that point, we're kind of looking at the PS5, so I'm not going to buy a PS4 Pro if in a year or so we're likely to get the literal next gen. And you'd assume the PS5 will shit all over the PS4 Pro by that point.
That's the hope.
So, no, I don't think I'll never own a Pro. I just bought a new PS4 Slim like 3 months ago. Hopefully that'll last me to the end of the gen, because I've got no interest in buying a Pro.
Look, I love my Pro, but I have the equipment to make it worthwhile.
Yeah. But even, like, I've just never put that emphasis on that. You know, it's the colours are a bit deeper.
Granted, if you're someone like me, not a stickler, but like an example is having the PSVR hooked up this morning to play Moss and the HDR's off, I'm like, wow, I think it's kind of dull. Like there's actually a noticeable, like, matted out color range. No, it really is. And then you put it in, you know, it's like, it is total wank. It doesn't actually change how the game's played in any stretch. But I'm like, huh.
Okay. Apparently there's reports, I don't know how founded they are, but having HDR on with Monster Hunter World actually makes it look worse.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
I don't know.
Coming and playing it in here and then playing it in there.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd agree. The brightness and the levels need to be spot on for it to look good. Yeah. It's very difficult.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just never, yeah. No.
Anyways, we've been sitting here gushing about games and things that are old news, the things that we played way back in the day. Let's talk about what's coming this week in a section we called Coming to the Players.
New releases on PS4 for the week of March 6, 2018. Audio Beats, PSVR, Digital. Bravo Team, PSVR. Digital Retail.
I know a lot of people that are very keen for that. I know James, my buddy Ben.
I know Diddly Squat. Bravo Team is set in a fictional modern-day Eastern European city when your escort mission goes wrong, a country threatens to tear itself apart and your team along with it.
We should have a review for that coming next week.
DJ Max Respect.
Max Respect.
That's actually a pretty sick name. I like that. PS4
DJ
Digital.
Max.
Yeah, DJ Respect. Max Respect. Or DJ Max Respect.
It's about where the pause is.
Fear Effect Sedna. PS4 Digital. Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition PS4 Retail. So I'm pretty sure this is the one that comes with... Yeah, all it comes DLCs. With all the DLC and all the add-on content and all that stuff. Frantix PS4 Digital, the new PlayLink game.
Read that out.
Arcade-style fun and madcap minigames are all the rage in Frantix, where you and up to three friends have to face off in a variety of challenges.
Okay.
Life is Strange Before the Storm.
Complete edition,
PS4 Retail, yeah. Complete edition. Midnight Deluxe, PS4, PS Vita Digital. North, PS4, PS Vita Digital. One-Eyed Kutke. PS4, PS Vita Digital. Rangy. Doesn't even have red hair, that's a lie. PSVR Digital. Root Double Before Christmas. Root Double Before Crime After Date X10 Edition PS Vita. Scribblenauts Showdown PS4 Digital and Retail. Scribblenauts is rad.
I love Scribblenauts.
I really, really like Scribblenauts. So does Alex. It's a lot of fun.
There
wasn't really much I could find in that game where it's like, but they won't put this in if I draw it. They won't know what this is. It does. Like, maybe not dicks and stuff. But
well, because I played the DC one.
Okay.
And it's like you just put the most C-list, D-list superhero, like fuck it, the calculator.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I think I played Unlimited. It's like lion, giant, on fire, and it's just it's like it does it. It's so cool.
I'm putting like miniature Cthulhu. It's like it's like this big.
Then you go giant.
It's a
lot of
game.
Fun Scribblenauts. TT Isle of Man, right on the edge, PS4 Digital and Retail.
On the edge.
Way of the Passive Fist, PS4 Digital. That's it.
Lame.
What's a bit further down? PlayStation Music. You can get Moby.
This is what new albums are dropping on Spotify this week, pretty much.
Tori Lanez and Andrew WK.
And then what movies are coming to PlayStation Video?
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Downsizing and I, Tonya. Whatever.
Anyways.
They're not games. You can't play them. You can. Through a different device. The same device. Through a different method. Oh, I'm going into it, am I?
That's where you do your part.
How do I end it now with the new spiel? What do I say first?
If you enjoyed that conversation.
If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you want to join in the conversation, join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to show your love for the Pop Culturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts, hoodies, phone cases, art books, anything you need with a logo smacked on it, it'll be there.
Butt plugs coming soon.
They're in the works. It's tough sell.
They're actually not.
No. I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.